When should I start homeschooling my child, and how should I deal with a homeschool preschooler? Heartstrings have been plucked, so let me tell you, I do have some other episodes about homeschooling, and I do have a whole enchilada for people who need a mom-level protocol for learning disabilities. We don't call them learning disabilities here. Call them learning problems, because problems can be solved. Okay, so we're going to solve your problems, I hope, for all those people who are bewildered about when should I start homeschooling my child. Want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents, because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org. GreatShalom.org. Get this book. Okay, so when should I start homeschooling my child? I have seen these pitiful questions. My heart just goes out to you all. And questions about what to do for homeschooling for children who are less than five. Notice we call them preschoolers. That shows how much our consciousness has been formed by the way we have been doing school, which is not necessarily the optimum way. Okay, so yay for homeschoolers. And as somebody who's a little more experienced in a variety of educational methods, and I did homeschool my daughter some, and only some because I was a single parent, and it was fairly new at the time. And I also was privileged to homeschool my older grandsons. Of course, she's homeschooling my younger grandson. So, when should I start homeschooling my children? That's actually kind of the wrong question, because it assumes schooling. Okay, so the right question is, how do I educate my children? Well, you cannot help but educate your children. When they're nursing, you notice your baby, when it's nursing, is putting its fingers in your mouth. You know why? Because that's part of learning to talk. So don't be scrolling on your phone when you're nursing. Look at that baby and talk to the baby. And from the minute the baby is hearing in the womb, you are educating it. So it's not about schooling. It's about providing an enriched environment and introducing the child to the world in helpful ways. Right? So here's a little toddler who's learning to walk. Okay, so it's inevitable that you're going to take them by the hand and help them walk. But, you know, you might provide a coffee table, right? And you might be careful not to put them in a playpen, right? Because that restricts their movement. As long as you can watch them, it's much better for them to have movement. And maybe by the time they're two, they're going to be walking over to your kitchen cabinets and getting those the pots and pans out, and they're going to be discovering that the smaller one goes into the larger one. They're going to be discovering that they make noise when they're banged together. This is all their work of learning. They're going to be going and touching the grass, looking at the flowers, and pulling the dog's tail, and that's all learning. So you start teaching your child from the beginning, and when they put their fingers in outlet at your friend's house, you say, no, that's dangerous. Your house, of course, you have plugs that cover the outlets. But anyway, everything you do is teaching. That's what being a good parent is. And you're going to give them Crayolas and paper pretty soon, and that's learning. And you're going to let them explore the medium, like do finger paintings and scribble. But then you're going to show them something better, and you could show them how to trace inside of a shape, like maybe you have a shape of a triangle and you show them how they can trace inside and then turn the triangle upside down and know they have a Star of David or whatever. And you can show them how to paint pictures, and you know, as they're interested, you show them more. And then as they become older, like late threes, then you give them scissors whenever you think they can handle it. So when you're talking to them, you're going to say, oh, I love your red dress today. Okay? So the question becomes, how am I going to teach them academic readiness? Okay, that's the question. Okay, so you've already introduced colors. You can't help that, but you could. So I'm going to take an idea from Montessori lesson, is you could give them a spool of thread with red and a spool of thread with blue and say, this is red, this is blue. Show me red, show me blue. What is this? Red, yes. What is this? Blue, right. So simple lesson. Right? And you could do colors that way. You can make a game of matching colors. So I took little squares of paper, covered them with, we called it contact paper then. And anyway, laminated, whatever, doesn't matter. And so matching red with red and blue with blue, but pretty soon you can match chartreuse with chartreuse and light green with light green and so forth. And then also I took seed catalogs. So they had little pictures. If I could get two seed catalogs, then we can match periwinkles with periwinkles and roses with roses. Oh, I got paint chips from the paint store. So they're not actually paint chips. They're little cards with colors on. All right. So I made games, matching. Then you can have sorting games, so different kinds of peas and beans in a egg carton, and all right, or a game of have a plastic bowl and some cotton balls and a spoon. Oh, two plastic bowls, and then the child spoons the cotton balls from one to the other. All of these teach something that ends up being academic readiness. So the spoons in the bowl, developing the small motor skills eventually needed for pencils. Crayolas develop same. Hand-eye coordination will come in handy somewhere. And matching and sorting. And you could start matching and sorting smells. You can have stereognostic senses. Okay, so have a bag, put various things in there, have them feel and guess what it is, or have them match, you know, like here's two plastic elephants and here's two, what, okay, two squares, two cubes, two spheres, and so forth. So lots of that, right? And practical life. You definitely need to teach practical life. So when you are folding clothes, give your child some washcloths and show them how to fold it, right? That can happen too. And show them how to wash their hands and how to wash, I don't know, what they might need to wash, socks or whatever, something. So that, you know, show them how to sweep. Give them a little broom and give them some paper scraps so they can see them well, so they learn how to sweep, and then they may not see the dust right away, but then give them some leaves, and then pretty soon they'll see the dust, and you can, and they'll have the idea of sweeping. And give them real lessons, real jobs around the house. So when you're clearing the dishes, a 4-year-old can clear dishes with you, and a 2-year-old can clear the dishes if they're not breakable. So have real lessons. Show them how to cook. You know, a 4-year-old, 3-year-old can make Jell-O with you. So real life lessons. But the question is academics. All right. You can teach a 3-year-old to recognize letters, or a 2-year-old, but why? Why bother? Because brains are changed. Brains are changed when you learn to read. So be sure that they do all of the steps. For instance, it used to be very popular to teach children how to walk very quickly. They would put in walkers, and they would skip the crawling step. That's not a good idea. The crawling step has a lot to do with sequencing, hand-eye coordination, and people who don't crawl have problems reading. So do things in the right order. When is the right order to learn to read? Most children are going to ask at about 4. So just follow the child's lead. Observe. Now, it's not, I'm not saying don't do anything that your child doesn't direct. I'm not saying that. But you observe. And when you see the child is interested in reading, then you read. Now, you've already been reading books to them. Okay. At 4, I memorized the books and went and told the next door neighbor I could read. And then I showed, you know, I was reciting the words, the right words on the right page. She thought I could read. Well, obviously I was interested in reading. I took the newspaper with the ads, the grocery ads, so there's a whole big page, you know, bread, 5 cents, or 55, you know, pound of meat, ground meat, sale, 55 cents, and I would trace in those letters. I wanted to learn to write. Well, my mother said, no, leave something for the first grade teacher to do. Okay. Which I think was wrong. I think if you observe scientifically, you will find that children like to learn to read at 5, but they don't like to sit in desks for 8 hours when they're 4. 4 or 5, they're interested in letters and numbers. So, newsflash, give them letters and numbers. Really easily, you can buy a Laurie puzzle. The Laurie are foam, and they have, you know, 1 through 10 puzzles. So the child can put the yellow one, into the one hole and becomes familiar with how to write them that way in their order just by doing the puzzle. And of course, I'm a big believer in the sandpaper letters, so they're 6 inches high, and you show them. You give them 1 or 2 letters at a time, and you show them how to feel them. So if they do that, when they pick up a pen and make those numbers and the letters, numerals, they will do them flawlessly, without tears. I just cannot imagine why we still do it the terrible school way of having those letters way up there next to the ceiling, and then make children copy them over and over and over and wrong, and then they get them wrong, and then they're chastised for getting them wrong, and they keep trying, and they keep, like, why do you do it that way? We have known 125 years a better way of doing that. So, disambiguate the identification and the composing of words and the replication. Okay, so let them get to know the letters themselves by feeling them, and then pretty soon they'll put them together. They can compose. Let them write in terms of their penmanship separately, and then they'll start putting movable letters together, B-E-D, bad, ha, and they see that you read them. Oh, that's such a milestone. They love it. And then you can do matching. Here's a picture of a bed. Here's a card with bed on it. And then I made little books that had the words that we had learned, you know. Matt and his cat sat on a mat. And it was wonderful fun. And they were reading in weeks. Now, they had, in my case, my grandsons had already had all the beginning stuff, and I just put it together and I taught them how to read. It was great fun. But I think this is a very important step. I do have more about how to teach reading, because so many of our curriculum, because we are brainwashed into school, they're 2D, that's easy to do, easy to follow, but it doesn't really teach how to read. And so I know a lot of people who otherwise did well in school, except for they were weak in reading because they were never taught reading based on phonics. So when you are reading to your children, you are not teaching them how to read based on phonics. You are teaching them the value of reading based on sight words. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, there are some words, like said, that, okay, it's a sight word. But don't think that when you are reading Hat and the Cat that you're teaching him how to read. No, you're teaching them the value of reading and the fun of reading. When they put these words together, that's when they learn to read. When they learn a, b, k, and then they say back, back, back. Okay, well, back has a K on it. You'll have to tell them all about the vagaries of English, because it's not what you see is what you get, like Italian, Spanish is. But anyway, that's the answer. You teach them from the time they exist. But you give them academic work, letters, at about 4 when they're ready for it. Okay? That's the answer. Make it fun. Right? I hope this helps you, dear heart. I just saw so many pleadings. I couldn't not. So, that's the answer. Go to the website at overcominglearning.org. And there is a product there under shop that has to do with homeschooling. There's a product that has to do with, it's titled When the Road to Reading Gets Rocky. But it comes back to the fundamentals. So it's a good, and it does have some math stuff in there. Okay? Hope that helps.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
Let me say here, just real quick, that I do have now a whole process, a good protocol to go through to be sure that you can address your children's problem. 12 episodes with lots of bonuses at greatshalom.org. Just look for the menu that says shop. Also have a book called Learn at Home for Great Shalom. It's soup to nuts to figure out what your specific child needs and what method to deliver what content. It's mostly about your child's needs and the methods, and you should go through all of that before you choose a curriculum. Don't just go replicate. public or Christian school. Do not do that. Do not just go and get the curriculum that worked for somebody else. Find out what your child needs and what delivery method works for them. And then you can go shopping. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. You can go to the website and click through, or you can go directly to, I think it's at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. And you can get it either in electronic or paperback format. They'll print it and send it to you.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.great.com. G-R-E-A-T, Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M.org, greatshalom.org. Get this book. For the victory. You know, it really bears repeating about this Learn at Home for Great Shalom book. It's really one of the most valuable things. Well, it's certainly, I think, the most valuable thing I've ever written. And I think it's the most valuable thing about homeschooling that I know that has ever been written. Everybody wants to go off and say, well, what curriculum shall I buy? And they buy whatever their friend suggests. But, you know, that's really the wrong place. The only reason you do that is A, because you haven't thought about it. B, because you're brainwashed in schooling. That's all about schooling. It's all about curriculum. And that's only because they didn't want to let professional teachers do the best job they could do. Because good teachers, they're not tied to a curriculum. But anyway, if you want to take over and control and engineer society, then you're going to make a bad curriculum and make everybody teach to it. But anyway, what you need to ask is, what does my child need to learn? How does my child learn the best? How can I provide that? Okay? And what does my child need to learn? Well, yes, it's reading, writing, and arithmetic, but it's so much more than that. It's more than the public school ever thought of, because they were only ever created to do enough academics to make a good worker in a manufacturing society, and then only, that was originally, and then only enough to make a good activist that could be good weaponized for communist purposes. I know it sounds crazy, but I've got the receipts, as they say these days. No, I've got the evidence. I'm shocked to discover. But anyway, you as a parent know you want your child to have ethics and entrepreneurship and being able to be a good parent and so many other things. And then you have a individual, unique child with strengths and weaknesses. You want to support those strengths, those talents, and you want to use those talents to overcome any weaknesses. That's, you know, that's part of being a human and a part of being a good teacher. And you could do so much with an individual child. You cannot do with a mass class. Okay, so this book will help you go through all of those areas and think through. And then once you have a plan, then you can go shopping for curriculum, because hallelujah, today we have a variety of curricula, and some of them are even good. And you could say, okay, I need something that's strong on engineering, because my son really wants that, but I need to be sure that he has the basics of American government too, you know. Or, you know, my daughter is just so artistic. We want to be sure she's got a history of art, and we need to be sure that she also gets a foundation of math. And how can we do both of those things? And okay, my child has these problems. We really are going to have to focus on social skills, and not just social skills, but character. So that's one of the problems. We had people who more and more and more didn't have character and didn't have connection with other humans. We started teaching social skills, and now we've got kids in the workforce already who can be chipper and just don't care about anybody else. And they can work to rules, but no way in the world could they ever be customer service, although that's what they're being employed to do. It's okay. But the point is, you need to get this book, because it really is unique, and it's going to help you and help your children have a decent life. And people, I say it's a methodology book, and people don't even know what I mean. Okay, so it's not a method. That's the whole point. It helps you choose which method to use to teach your children, and then, of course, which curricula, right? Because if you decide, well, we're not going to be able to sit down for 8 hours, which my son can't do that, well, fine, then you can use emergent methodology. But then you have to have enough background information so that you can do that and make that a go of it, right? So get the book. Get the book. You can go to my website at Overcoming Learning Problems and find it and click through. You could just go to lulu.com, lulu.com, because I put it up there before Amazon KDP was a thing. I'm telling you, really, this will help you. Okay, so let me bless you. Come with me to the throne of grace. Dear Lord, King of the universe, lover of our souls, may this mother feel your extravagant love so that she can give it out to her children. Bless her with wisdom. You say that if we ask for wisdom, you won't chastise us for it, but you will give wisdom liberally. Thank you for the provision that the older women teach the younger women. Lord, may the words of truth be lodged in the memory, and may the intentions to be a good parent and a good educator, may that be fulfilled. We pray in the mighty, matchless, most powerful name of Jesus. Amen. www.overcominglearningproblems.org, and you can write me at info@greatshalom.org, great like big, shalom, shalom.org. May you and yours be blessed.